Hello and welcome to the Autism 360 Method, the Autism 360 podcast, where we discuss all things autism and what's happening on our program. And today we're going to be talking to the amazing Aaliyah, who is one of our behavioral coaches. Welcome, Aaliyah.
Hi, thank you for having me.
It is great to have you here. And we've got a really exciting topic, which I'm really looking forward to talking to you about today, the power of modeling and how we can use that to help our kids so much in areas that maybe we've never even realized before. So we'll get into that in a moment. Welcome to all our lovely listeners. It is great to have you here today. Before we get started, I just wanted to mention that this podcast is not intended as medical advice. So if you are concerned about someone you're caring for, please seek professional advice or reach out to us here at Autism 360. So Aaliyah, we were talking last week about modeling and how important it is. And, you know, I think it's sometimes we're trying to work on our kids and changing them in all these different ways, not realizing that at the same time, we're actually doing that same behavior in different ways. And, you know, we're sort of trying to change them, but maybe not looking at, well, what are we teaching them through what we're doing ourselves and who we're being as parents and carers. So it was such a fascinating conversation that we were having about that. And I'm really looking forward to hearing what you've been doing in this space, because it sounds like you're doing some really interesting things with our parents and carers on the program.
Yeah, it's definitely been, it was a really cool discovery. So I figured this out about 2 years ago. I've been doing this with different age groups and also just different families and family dynamics. And it's been very consistent. The frequency has not always been the same, but the outcome has always been consistent.
So can you tell me a bit about what it is that you've been doing with the parents and carers on the program? What is this theory that you're using that is working so well?
So at the very start, when I was working on, because you start off with co-regulation, right? We want to help teach the child how to calm down before we can move into the independence. So we were working on that and just targeting, you know, that co-regulation. But at the same time, I was noticing we weren't really getting anywhere. And when we finally would get somewhere, it would just take so much time. And it was really hard. And, you know, I was taking something called ABC data from the parents to find out what was happening before, what was happening during, and the reaction time, right? And overall outcome. And there it just wasn't consistent. So it finally kind of dawned on me when I was listening to the data that a lot of times when the parent is not regulated during these outbursts, these tantrums or whatever, you know, we're going through, that's usually why the results that we're getting. How is a child supposed to regulate and learn how to regulate their emotions when the parent isn't able to do that? So I decided to, instead of put my focus on the child, just focus on the parent first. So it's either one parent or two parents, depending, preferably if you have two parents in one household, it really does work better if you do both parents. But yeah. I told the parents, why don't we instead, you know, think about how we're responding to our own emotions, not just the child's emotions, but our own. So I said, I think it would be a really good idea that when you're feeling a certain emotion, that you would say, oh, I'm feeling so angry. And then, so not only do you express it, you then say what you need. I think I need to walk away. I think I need to take some deep breaths. And by you expressing that and then modeling what you need to do, your child is watching. And what people don't, and I feel like what parents don't realize, and anybody who works with children, I feel like they've learned this too, is that when we do an action, a child will see it and they'll do it 10 times more. So if we take our keys, we slam it on the, you know, like on the desk, or we throw something down, our child's watching us, but because they don't have that type of control or awareness, they'll take something like a toy and they'll be angry and they'll just chuck it across the room, right? So they'll just do what we do, but 10 times more. So it's really important to be aware of your own emotions, your own reactions. So if you have a child who like screams, raises their voices, stomps, says nasty language, well, maybe we should, you know, step back and think how we respond when we're angry or frustrated or stressed.
Absolutely. I think it's so, look, it's one of those things that I'm sure do most parents go, oh, of course, like, is it a bit of an aha moment where the light bulb goes on? Well, and they like, how do they receive that information, do you think, when they reflect on that?
So it is, it's not easy sometimes trying to take this approach with some families. I used to just kind of wait to take this approach, but I feel like it's an approach that needs to be taken right away, especially based on the data that I'm getting. It also depends on the age group of the kids. So when we have a toddler, because they're still learning how to regulate and it's so new to them, it's really important to take this approach quickly, right? For older kids, because this approach even works for their older kids, because the older kids are already aware and you can have, you know, conversations with them, the modeling for the older kids is a little bit different. It's similar, but we teach them how to repair. Mm-hmm. We model repairing, we model taking responsibility, because sometimes without even, you know, without knowing it, sometimes parents will trigger their teenager, but they won't take responsibility right away because mm-hmm. everybody's emotions are up in arms. So when you're teaching that repair and you're modeling that repair as well as everything else, it's like this, it is like an aha moment. So it's different for each age group. Because I think the repair for the younger ones, that takes time. Mm-hmm. And we learn how to repair, like when we're having, you know, when we're working on our social skills, like when we're playing a game and we're losing a game and, you know, we get upset because we lost a game and how we react, right? Like you learn that repair. Or if you accidentally say something mean to your friend, you learn to say, I'm sorry, but you also learn how to make the person feel better. It's those little natural things.
Yeah. Look, I know myself, just even with my own children, that those times where I've gone in and said, look, I'm sorry, you know, about whatever it was, maybe it was the way I reacted to something, you know, usually share, you know, just in casual conversation, what I might've learned from that and what I'll do differently next time. And I just find that conversation with teenagers works so well because, you know, just being able to take responsibility for what you've done in that, I think really teaches them that ability to go, wow, you know, my mum can do that. Isn't that good of her to be? Because rather than, you know, I'm the parent, I'm always right. I think it really does show them how to do that. And that's a really powerful way to be, I think. And it changes the relationship and the dynamics and teaches them those skills as well. I also know as a parent, anytime my daughter, who's now taller than me and bigger than me, is talking back at me, sort of, you know, almost yelling, I go, okay, well, it reminds me of maybe what I was like when she was younger. Maybe I was raising my voice more back then, and I see that modeling coming back at me now. So I've changed over time. I now talk a lot calmer to her and I say, please, you know, let's speak calmly to each other. And she's really got a lot better at that. But there's those old habits still that pop up. And I know exactly where that came from. And, you know, I'm like, okay, obviously that's what I was like with her when she was a bit younger at the time. Not that it was bad yelling, but, you know, a little bit of raising your voice. So I think it's so interesting when we see that, you know, modeling, and how that plays out. So it's such a good awareness for parents, I think, to just be aware of that. And you were saying that you now start working with the parents first, with them to start with. How does that go? Are they, you know, do they see?
They're pretty open to it. When I give them the examples, because I've done this now with 60 clients. So I've done this with, I would say about 60 families I've done this with, and it's been consistent. Again, the frequency, how long it takes for the child to learn depends. It depends on the consistency, right? Mm-hmm. But this approach really does work really well if the parents are on board with it. Sometimes I feel like parents might feel a little like, oh, like I try to let them know at the start, like this is not to put you under a microscope. I've been working with kids for so long and sometimes I lose my cool. It's normal, but it's also important to just be aware. Right? If you don't do it right every time, that's fine. Just try. And I always encourage parents to do it even when their children aren't even in the room, when they're just by themselves, to practice that, make it consistent. And it's also good for them to learn that those emotional regulation skills, because maybe they didn't learn it, right? Or maybe they didn't have the best role models. And that's the thing. We are, as parents, are role models for our children. Mm-hmm. We are what they grow up to kind of resemble. who's ever that important person in their life, we are going to follow in those footsteps. Kind of like what you said with your daughter, you know, she, when you were younger, when you guys were kind of going back and forth, you're like hearing it like, oh, that sounds like me. Maybe sometimes when things come out of your mouth or something you do, you're like, oh, this reminds me of like my mom or my dad, or, you know, it's like, oh, I sound like them.
Absolutely. And I've even become more aware of how I speak to my own. I'm very close with my own mother, but I've become more aware of that because I'm aware that my children are watching that relationship and going, that's, you know, I want them to speak to me in the best possible way. So I'm more aware of that as I've got older to make sure that I'm really conscious of those things. So I think that, you know, we are their role models. And I think it's a very different way of looking at it. And what do you think have the results been? Obviously, you said that it's been, you know, different with the parents who are both on the same page and there's consistency would make a big difference, I'm sure. But what have your results been so far?
So far, I'd say the results are, they're really positive. And it also, again, it brings the family closer. It creates trust. The tantrums or the different behaviors you're working on and come down because you're noticing, again, if both parents are on board, it really is a big win. If one, I've still seen it work, it just takes a little bit more time, depending on how much time is spent with that parent and child, right? It can be tricky to sometimes get both parents involved, and it can be hard sometimes. Not everybody feels comfortable expressing their emotions. Mm-hmm. It's not a normal thing for a lot of people, right? It can be uncomfortable. So it is a big step out of your comfort zone. And that's why sometimes, like, I really hope when I explain this to parents that they don't feel like they're under a microscope. It is, like, realistically, it is so hard to do that, to be aware of that and mindful of that. So I start off with this. I say, okay, we're going to take this in three steps. I just would like you to be aware of your own emotions when you're around your child, or even when you're by yourself, I'd like you to express how you're feeling. And then I'd like you to say what you want to do. So for example, I want to get a drink of water. I want to go for a walk. You want to say things like, I need, not I want, but I need to do this in order to calm down. And then you model that. And you put that in action, and your child is going to see that. And even if your child's not seeing that, you're practicing really good habits. You're creating this beautiful routine for yourself that's going to help you calm down. Also, if you're already heightened, how are you going to correct the behavior? Mm-hmm. And something important that we've also stressed here at Autism 360 is you want to connect before you correct. Mm-hmm. How can you connect with your child if your emotions are still heightened? How can you repair? You know, how, if you feel those, you feel that tension off one another. So it's important to calm yourself down first before approaching.
Absolutely. And I think sometimes that motivation, sometimes we don't make changes always for ourselves, but I think that motivation when parents and carers can see that, wow, by me doing this, I'm going to help my child so much more. I'm sure there's a lot more motivation for them to actually put those things into practice. Do you find that they've all of a sudden they've got a big enough reason why? Why do I need to do this? It's not just for me, but I'm actually helping my whole family by learning just these three steps.
It's easy. It really is three easy steps, very easy to remember. And that's what I like about it. And they get really excited because I think I've noticed that the first week I'll say, hey, how are you going? They'll say, well, we're feeling, you know, I'm feeling a lot better. And I am noticing that my child is either repeating what I've said or is watching me, and they're looking and they're being aware, like, that's different. Why did she say that? Why did mom just walk away all of a sudden? Like, you know, express how she feels and walk away. And like, so even though the kids aren't copying it right away, they're paying attention.
Absolutely. And even just identifying that emotion as Dan Segal, you know, speaks about, and I love his videos around, through identifying even just that first step about how you're feeling actually calms a part of our brain down. And you know, by our kids learning how to do that as well helps them to learn how to identify their own emotions, what they need, you know, to be able to feel better. It helps them start to come up with their own solutions, which is just such amazing techniques for them to learn at any age, really, even at our ages.
Yeah. I mean, we're never too old to learn. Exactly. It's a technique that we're never too old to learn. What I like about this is we're kind of combining two goals into one with our kids because, you know, especially our early learners, when they're learning how to label and understand emotion, right? So instead of, you know, using, we can definitely use flashcards and social stories and all these different ways and games and play to teach emotions, but having it this way as well, more real, helps too. So it's combining two goals into one.
Absolutely. Just seeing the real world example and becoming very aware, adults and children. And I think that the changes would be just amazing over time as well. So over time, do you notice that these strategies make a big difference?
The first week I've had parents say, depending, right? It's different for every family, but usually there's some awareness being made, like, that's different. Like, depending if it's a teenager or a child, the child or the teenager is kind of looking at the parent like, that's different. Why is she reacting that way? Second week, maybe you'll get some sarcasm from the teenager. I've heard like, oh, I think I'm going to go get a drink of water. I'm frustrated. But you're aware that the parent is doing this, right? And then you'll see a kid say, I need cuddles. I'm feeling sad. And that's great. Like, when you hear that. Third week, you kind of start to see them pick up on it a little bit more, right? And I think it takes about, I would say, like a whole month's time, I'll get parents come back to me and say, oh, I'm noticing a huge difference in my child's emotional regulation. So I don't like to use this, but two birds with one stone, right? Mm-hmm. You're hitting your mark doing this way. So instead of working one-on-one with a child and then going back and forth with a parent, you're kind of tackling both.
Absolutely. And the benefits are just, you know, there's so many benefits to this. As you said, it helps them connect more as well. It helps build that relationship. And I think, you know, our children are so sensitive to our emotions as well. And I think most people that are looking after children know that. They go, yeah, I just notice when I'm really stressed or upset, the kids are playing up and they're, you know, it's almost like you said, 10 times worse. So us being able to learn that, there's just so many benefits to that. So I think it's fantastic what you're doing, and you're recording these cases by the sounds of it.
Yeah, because I noticed it was working, and I kept getting really good feedback from it. I was like, I need to keep track of this. Luckily, we have our portal. So if I'm ever missing anything, I can just go back to all the families. But one of the main goals that I get is I want to teach my child emotional regulation. And it's from toddlers to teens, right? So I'm constantly working on this. And I've been using this strategy now every time, and I've gotten really good results. I haven't had to backtrack. I actually haven't had to modify it. These three steps have worked every single time.
Mm-hmm. Wonderful. Have you ever had a parent say, no, I don't want to do that?
Yes. So I had a parent who really struggled with talking about their emotion. It has to do with their own personal, you know, past with it, and just not being, you know, with their own mental health journey, right? And it was really challenging for them. They really struggled. When we have a parent like that, and that's when we send, when they do the mindset coaching, right? So for parents who don't feel comfortable with that, it's not an approach that would probably work right away or something I would do right away. They need to work on their mental health, right? I did work on it with the dad, and the dad was able to do that. And when the dad was working with the kids, you did see a little bit of that. Yes. It wasn't as, I think there was only one case, and it was that one case out of all my parents where it was really tough for a parent to be that open emotionally. Yeah. And this parent also really struggled even hugging their child and being, being affectionate. So in those type of circumstances, that's a bit rare, right? And it definitely does change everything. So it's more like working with this parent about being more open with their emotions and feelings first, and taking those little baby steps to that, to practicing that strategy. That was the only time it really didn't work as well.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. And look, you know, I guess it, as you said, it depends sometimes on people's backgrounds and upbringings.
Yeah, but and culture too.
That's true. That's right. And we have a lot of support on the program for all different situations, which is great. So obviously, as the mindset coach, as you said, I get a lot of different, you know, situations to deal with, and people's emotions is a lot of what we work on. I think it's such an important topic. So it's fantastic what you're doing. We've actually had a question from Todd in Queensland, and he said he's not very good at managing his own frustration and anger. And now he's starting to see that reflecting in his son, and his son is 12, and he was just wondering, yeah, how can I change this to help my child, which a lot of what we've talked about, but what would you suggest to Todd?
Like this, the three steps. So Todd, I would suggest anytime that you're feeling a certain emotion, whether it's feeling annoyed, frustrated, like you don't have to dive for, again, for those people who feel weird about being that vulnerable, you don't have to dive into those big emotions. You could just say, I'm simply annoyed. I'm feeling really annoyed. And instead of raising your voice or, you know, having a bit of a tone, you could just say, I need a break. Mm-hmm. And just practice walking away. Say, I need a break. You know, I need a timeout. I need to recharge. Mm-hmm. Like those, just taking that simple step and voicing that and then modeling that. Right. Mm-hmm. And then little by little, once you feel comfortable, leading up to those other emotions that you're feeling and thinking about what you need when you're feeling those emotions and how you can model that.
Wonderful. That's such good advice. And I think it's, you know, it's just amazing. It's amazing. And I'm sure all our listeners will really take a lot from that today. I really think it's fantastic. And wonderful. And as you said, the results are, you know, happening pretty quickly and long term, making a huge difference. And we do notice such a big difference with the people that we work with on the program. It is one of the things that I'm always getting so much feedback on, is how quickly sometimes those changes are made. Things that we feel like they're never going to change, all of a sudden we're having these big breakthroughs. And I think this is one, you know, very exciting area.
Yeah, thank you. Well, thank you for having me.
Thank you, Aaliyah. Yeah. Wonderful to talk to you. And I'm sure you'll have a lot of parents knocking on your door. So please contact us at Autism 360 if you would like some help. And we look forward to speaking to you again soon. So thank you, Aaliyah.
You're welcome. All right. Okay. Yeah.